And sitting down with us right now are two gentlemen. Of course, the Heisman Trophy winner, Doug Flutie, is with us, and a veteran of the USFL and the CFL and the NFL, and celebrity chef Andrew Zimmern as well. Nice to have you guys. Thanks for coming
in. Thanks for having us. Yeah, there was a football league I played in.
Were you Big East at BC or was that ACC?
We were Big East back then. Actually, we were independent. No, we Big East and basketball, we were independent in football. So that's why we got to play some, you know, Miami's and Penn State's and all over the place. So we and Alabama, we got to get a real nice schedule together because we were independent.
Well, I was a freshman in college when you hit Gerard Phelan for that pass. And I don't think people understand what a big moment that was. And I used to do shows with Bill Romanowski. And I said, you weren't on the sideline. He's like, hell yeah, I was there.
Billy Romanowski made one of the – he had an interception in that game. Okay. And neither team could stop each other. So we got two picks on Bernie, and Romo had one. And he also, I think, had a sack. So he had two huge plays in that game.
It's so funny that you mentioned that because I was in my room at my parents' house with my friends watching that game.
Wow.
And that, you know – if we had phones with cameras then, the jumping around did not not stop. I still think about that game.
Were you a Boston guy?
No, I was living in New York City, so okay. We didn't acknowledge anything that any Boston team ever did, ever. We pretend Philly and Boston don't exist in New York, but I was a huge sports fan, and I had become a huge Doug Flutie fan.
Right.
And if you had told me all those years ago that we would be doing this work together now, I would have said you're out of your mind. So, but one of the great things about getting to a certain point in your life is you get to advocate for things that are really important. Mm-hmm. And Doug and I, you know, found each other through a desire to make sure that statistically we can end student hunger in our lifetime. And so it's the work that we do together. So I get to see him once a year. It's good.
Yeah, we were just talking before coming over, and I was complaining about NIL and all the guys and all the, you know, what they need now to play college football.
Right.
I'm like, when I went to college and I could eat three meals a day, I thought I was living. You know, I had my scholarship, I had school taken care of, meals. Because I grew up, I was on one of those student plans and signing my name in. In fact, to me, you know, I had too much pride. I ended up going and collecting Coke bottles in the morning and cashing them in to get my lunch money type thing.
Wow.
So it is a real deal that a lot of kids are affected by, and if Gen Youth can make a difference, we'll make a difference.
Yeah.
I used to complain. I got, peanut butter and jelly. Some kids don't have anything, seriously, and that's where you guys step in.
A large amount of kids actually don't have anything, and the worst part about it is that it's a problem that we can actually solve. It would be one thing if we were, you know, spitting into the wind, but we're not. The statistic ending of childhood hunger in America costs about $18 billion. It then costs about $17 billion every year moving forward. The reason it's more in the first year is a lot of equipment issues and stuff like that. But we know where kids are, right? They're in schools and community centers and homes. We have a better handle on where kids are than when adults are. So we know where they are. We have the systems to take the food into them. We waste 40% of food in America. Most of that is pre-consumer contact, right? So we need to do a better job there. But we have the dollars to do it. That $18 billion is 0.0027% of our annual federal budget. That is a rounding error. And this is not left or right or red or blue. This has been going on for 400 years on this continent. And it's been highlighted in the last 75 years. Because America is the richest and most developed country in the world. We have everything. That we live in a country where we can all sit in here and be looking around at Radio Row, one of the most incredible experiences that the human being can have, is just seeing what goes on here. And at the same time, we can't feed our children. To me, the math does not square. And Gen Youth goes into where kids are, schools, feeds them, and puts in programs for physical activity and exercise. And, you know, Doug was talking about the collecting bottles for meals. I grew up a child of privilege, complete flip-flop. but I'd be, you know, I'm an alcoholic and a drug addict. I'm 35 years sober, but, you know, I went through a two-year stage in my life of homelessness and extreme addiction and falling so far below, below the line, taking meals in soup kitchens and stuff like that. I also know what hunger feels like. And, you know, having platforms like we have and being able to do this work is the great joy of my life.
Very well said. Now, Doug, has anybody tried a dropkick since you?
Yeah, the only one that did. Drew Brees and I were together in San Diego, and I used to dropkick all the time, messing around, and I taught him a little bit, and we would play catch dropkicking. Uh-huh. So after I did mine and all that, I was covering the Pro Bowl for NBC, and Drew was playing in the Pro Bowl. And he says, "Flutes, is it okay if I do a dropkick during the Pro?" I go for it, because it doesn't count anyway, because it's a Pro Bowl, and I got that would be perfect. So he tried on an extra point to do a drop kick and had a bad drop and kicked the line drive, missed the kick, and it didn't happen. But that was as close as it's got. That Drew wanted to do it before he retired.
I just remember as a Raider fan, after, you know, all you'd been through with the Bears and Buffalo and everything, those last years of San Diego, I'm like, Flutie's going to do something. He's going to pull it out. He's going to do something like that. So I got it. Let's just go back. USFL. Herschel Walker, Donald Trump, generals. I mean, everybody, all eyes were on you when that league started.
We had a blast. I'll tell you, we had a very talented, we had an NFL caliber team. We had Kent Hall at center, who was a perennial Pro Bowler for Buffalo, and Herschel, Maurice Carthon at fullback, Sam Bowers is tight. We had a bunch of NFL guys that the very next year jumped back into the NFL. I got off to a slow start. We're running Herschel had a 2,000-yard rushing season. I got it going a little bit towards the end of the year. Playoff team, okay, here we go. We're going to make this run. And Reggie White he was playing for the Memphis Showboats at the time. And Reggie White got me from behind, tuck, drilled my shoulder, and broke my collarbone. And I missed the playoffs. And we lose a playoff game 6-3. And I'm standing there on the sideline twiddling my thumbs. So that ended, you know, not so great. But that was a great experience. I loved and everybody's got their opinions. I know we're in San Francisco, too, about Donald Trump. But he was great to me over that time period. He was a great owner. Mm-hmm. Been a lifelong friend because of it.
Well, I'll just end with this. Like, all you've accomplished and all the leagues you've played for, the first thing I think of, and probably the first thing, is people want to talk about that BC throw against Miami, against Bernie Kosar's team, the Canes, right?
You know, every time I see it, he catches it again. I can't believe it. It's amazing. Gerard catches it every
time. Were you passing it to Gerard?
I was throwing it to an area.
Okay, that's right.
My own little take on it is to roll. It was a drop back protection, but I roll right. The tight end's supposed to. So there was a three-man rush, and I knew it was going to be three-man, so I walked over to tight end and said, "Hey, release. Get wide and go down the boundary on the backside." So after I roll right, guy's running at me. I throw to Gerard. Gerard catches it, blah, blah, blah. We get in the locker room. The tight end comes over. He's like, "We had a chance. We had a chance," because everybody was flowing. And sure enough, the guy that made it all happen was the backside corner, jumps into the free safety. They collide. The ball goes through to Gerard, and he catches it. So for 35 years, I hear from Pete Casparilla, "We had a chance. We had a chance." Finally, I saw a different camera angle on the 35th anniversary of it, doing an interview. All by himself on the 10-yard line on the backside.
Really?
He's got to walk in.
But what, the ball went, what, 60 yards in the air?
65 in the air.
That's just...
What's amazing, the ball was on the 48 going in. I knew I'd rolled right. I thought I had to throw it about 55 yards.
Wow.
So I threw more of a line drive because I didn't want to throw it out of the end zone. So I just threw a line drive towards where Gerard was, or where the pile was. Come to find out, I was all back on our 37. When I threw it, it just shows you what adrenaline does. Like, if I, on any given day, went out and threw it as far as I could, it would be 63 yards.
Uh-huh.
That went 65, and I really wasn't trying to throw a moon ball as far as I could. So I had one go 75 in a game against Notre Dame.
Wow.
At half, just from adrenaline.
Wow. Well, it's the greatest touchdown pass in college football history.
Yep.
Everyone check out tasteoftheNFL.com if you want to go on Saturday to the Hibernian. It's going to be an amazing event.
And the Flutie Brothers Band will be playing throughout the day.
Oh, that's
very
right.
Exciting. Yes.
That's right. What do you play, Doug?
I'm a drummer. I sing at the top of my lungs because no one can hear me because I don't have a mic back there.
All right, gentlemen, thank you.
Can I throw one thing in really fast? If people go to tasteoftheNFL.com, there's so much information about the event, but pull a sentence that speaks to you about childhood hunger, put it in an email, and send it out to everyone. that, you know, awareness of the issue. A lot of us walk around saying, hey, we know childhood hunger is an issue, but so much of it is silent. Statistically, 15%, but the real number is much higher because there's a huge percentage of Americans that are not jumping up and down and saying, we have hunger in our household, because there's a lot of pride, and there's also a lot of shame with this issue. And I just want people to spread the word and the awareness so that we can help solve this problem.
Great stuff. Andrew Zimmer, Doug Flutie, gentlemen, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm Ray Tittle. We'll take a quick break. Come on back to Radio Row.